at it for me. Give me some good reverb out there.
Like the a good God, isn't he? Somebody say, you've turned. Yes, you've turned. You have turned morning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. Thank you. stands against you shall stand. For the Lord is the rock of your salvation, and we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing it. Oh, if it's born against you, shall prosper. No kingdom reigns against you, shall stand. For the Lord is the rock of our salvation, and we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. How we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty word, blessed be the Lord God Almighty. How we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mindless word.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give God a praise?
Christ is born forever. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. so glad you're here tonight.
Will, why don't you turn this mic up? Get that black mic for me. Get that black mic up, of course. You can be seated if you want. You can give us some line.
Okay, Chris, why don't you go ahead? You can be seated if you want to. I'm going to be calling on somebody, say testimony. How many, God has done a great thing? Nights like tonight, we could do things like this, you know. On a big night, you'd be here forever. But on a night like tonight, you can have a good time, right? Isn't it good to see Mary? You look good, girl. She's got her hair on the cut. Go ahead, Chris. Jesse, you can come out of there. You're next. Think of the goodness of Jesus. We're going to do testimony service. Why not? Get ready, you might be called on.
Well, it's definitely not hard to think of something good that God has done. It's just which one I want to tell you about tonight. Wow. Well, recently in my life, God has been bringing about a lot of changes in several different areas, spiritual changes, just in every area of my life. And God has just really been good to me. There were so many things that I was believing God for from last year. Now it's almost the end of this year, and I'm looking at all the great things God has done this year. You know, from last year, I was believing God for a car, you know, and I got the car, and then I was believing God to get it paid off, and then got it paid off, you know. So I'm out of debt as of last month officially, you know, with that. And, you know, now I'm believing God, you know, for everything to be straightened out there, but... You know, it's just wonderful all the changes, you know, that God's brought about financially. This year has just been, you know, 10 times increase from last year. And spiritually this year, the blessings, the things that I've learned, the things that God has taught me, it's just been incredible. And gosh, wow. It's just hard to even try to focus when you think about all the good things God has done, but... I'll tell you what, God is faithful, and if anything, that's probably the thing that God just keeps confirming over and over again, and every year, every season of my life, it's a new thing, but God, every time, just keeps showing himself faithful over and over again, and he's just done bigger things than I can imagine. He's really blown my mind this year, and it's just been awesome.
Isn't this good? Has God done anything?
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, we're entering into a new season, and every new season, God calls you a step higher. We've learned that each season is an appointment with God. And, of course, you have your childhood season where you have to plant. Then you have a season, a harvest season, where you have to be accountable for what you planted and what God planted in your heart, and bring forth some fruit. But when you do that, in each season, God's got instructions for you. How many of you have heard an instruction from God?
Preach, brother.
They don't always make sense.
Go ahead.
They don't always make sense, I'll tell you. But they don't have to. God didn't ask us to work it out in our heads. He just asked us to obey. I've got a testimony. Those of you that have taken the Buddy Bell class, in Hebrews 6:10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye minister to the saints and do minister." When we obey God, and when we do even the least task, God is not forgetful. He doesn't forget. If you vacuum this carpet once, God didn't forget it, even if you have. God doesn't forget the least little thing. And sometimes the devil gets you caught up into condemnation. You make a mistake and he says, "Look, see the mess you're in? Boy, you'll never get out of this." But God doesn't forget. And no matter what, God will reward you according to what you've done. Even the Bible says, even if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you will have your reward. You will not lose your reward. Y'all know, when I was young, way back, long time ago. When I was fairly young, God called me. I come from a family that, you know, some of my family members have been in the ministry, but I never thought God would call me to do this, never wanted. I knew what I wanted, and I knew where I was going, but God had another plan, and he interrupted me, and he told me, and I really literally forsook all my dreams, my goals, my ambitions, because I read the scripture that those with selfish ambition will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I said, well, even that's got to go. And I did this by faith. It was a sacrifice. We stepped out, didn't know where we were going to be. And about a year ago, we had been living in a house, and we moved out. And because of financial reasons, had to stay in this small, teeny little condominium. The car that I had, for various reasons I won't go into, the car I had no longer. It wasn't my fault or anything I did. It was a blessing from God, and it went away. And I was, you know, I questioned God, and I, you know, everything kind of fell apart at once. How many of you have ever had that happen? They don't happen one by one. They all happen at the same time. And I thought, well, I must have missed it, God. I must have missed it. But when that happened, I stood and I prayed and I stood on God's word, and I knew I was right. And I commanded the devil, because he stole it, I commanded him, you return this vehicle. You've got a week to do it. And not only that, because you had the nerve to do this, you've got to give us a house back before the year's over. I told him that, commanded him in the name of Jesus. And most of y'all know that there's a truck out there that God has let me use. He's been awesome that he spoke to Dean and Kathy. They didn't even know the situation. The car hadn't been gone but a week. The devil kept his end of the command because he had to. Within a week, that happened. And within a few months later, someone begs us to take their house. They were transferred to England. They said, look, okay, I'll put it to you this way. Whatever you're paying for the condominium, you can pay that in the house until you get more. So for no more financial burden, we're living in a big house. It's a blessing. And I'm driving a wonderful truck, and something happens to that, I'll have another one. God is faithful. And I just want to thank you. First of all, that's a testimony. I don't know where all of y'all, where you've been, what God's been telling you, and you doubt yourself. Sometimes things don't always go the way you want them to go. But when you step out on faith and you just hang on through those tough seasons, sometimes, you know, you come to church and this place isn't full and you just go on through. But you hold on to what God's called you to do. And God is faithful to reward you, not only when you get to heaven, but in this life. And if that's a testimony, why am I telling you this? Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. This can help you if you're dealing in an area. And it's helped me to the point, if the house went away tomorrow, if everything I had went away tomorrow, in a week, I know I can have another one. Once you've overcome the devil stuff once, you know how to trust and believe God. Again and again, whatever you need, God will give it. Be a sower, be a giver, and be obedient, and do what God tells you to do, if it makes sense or not. But I just want to testify, even in a church that's sometimes small like this, God has taken care of me by his might and his power, the only way it could happen. And I want to thank you all, and that's it. Amen.
Sing.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's sing. Get ready, Rita.
I just want to thank you.
Rita, get ready.
I just want to thank you.
Tell us the goodness of Jesus.
Thank you.
Tell us, give us a testimony.
I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Sing it.
I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you,
get up here, because I didn't know what I wanted to say.
That's a miracle.
I should repeat, I didn't know what God wanted me to say.
Okay.
And so he just spoke to me, and I know what he wants me to share with you. And It's a mighty, 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 mighty miracle. And, you know, it's funny. Jane Ellen handed me a paper this morning she made in Sunday school. And on the front it says, I'm special. And it said, adopted little girl. And, you know, there's absolutely sometimes I forget she's adopted. And I know a couple of you know her story, but a lot of you don't, and I'm going to do it as quickly as I can. Okay. In 1980, I went in to have my tubes cleaned out, and the doctor didn't want to do it. He said that, you know, the best time to get pregnant was right after that. And I don't know why I was so adamant, but I said, no, I want it done. I want it done now. I figured, why wait? Why, you know, take a chance that things get worse? And so he went ahead and agreed, and he did the surgery, and I woke up, and I had a total hysterectomy. It wasn't what I signed for. It wasn't what I had agreed to. But when he went in there, he had found some disease that was almost to my kidneys. And he later, you know, a couple days later, when I was starting the recovery process, told me, he was sat on my bedside and cried and told me that, you know, he was really glad that I insisted he do the surgery because I'd have been dead within a week. I didn't know it was that severe. I knew I was in a lot of pain, but I didn't know what was going on. So that's the history of Jane Ellen. Then I was 19 years old, and Jesse and I got married when I was 21, and we went through many searches for a child. Many adoption agencies, and Jesse's 10 years older than me, and so we kept running into the age thing. You know, the people that give babies, people that sell babies, they want the parents to be under 35 to get an infant. There's like categories, you know, it's like anywhere from 50,000 and up to get a healthy white infant baby. Infant. You can get a 2-year-old that's retarded and some kind of mixed color for $25,000. I learned a lot in this process. I went through a lot of pain with it. I even had people that were very close to me that got pregnant and had abortions, 4 of them. I had a dear friend of mine that wanted to do a surrogate pregnancy, and that was in 83. I had just been saved. And I said, well, I gotta go to the Bible and see what God wants me to do. And I prayed and I asked God to show me what to do. And I opened up my Bible and I started reading the story of Sarah and Abraham. And I called her up and I said, no way, we're not doing that. I said, I want my Isaac. I don't want an Ishmael. And so we didn't do that. And later she got pregnant, wanted me to adopt it. Her mother talked her out of it. We had many instances of, you know, here's a baby, no, it's not. And it was very devastating, crushing. I am very thankful that God had gotten the surgery thing done quickly, that I didn't have to go through miscarriages. I'm very thankful for that. I don't think I could have handled that. And many years later, standing on promises that God had made me that I was going to have a baby, and going through different adoption agencies that turned us down, one Christian adoption agency that was letting 2 different lesbian women adopt babies, but pulled us into another room and told us, we really like you, but, you know, your husband's over the age limit. And if you got divorced, you could come back as a single mom and adopt. And it never made sense.
there's a lot of people that can't have children, and there's a lot of pain involved with that. You doubt your womanhood. You don't feel complete. Then you hear the comments of, well, anybody can have a baby, and you're thinking, but why not me? And so there was a lot of depression over the years, and drugs, and a lot of trying to escape the pain, and more surgeries because I had a scar tissue problem that kept growing back and had to go in and get more surgery. I had a total of 23 surgeries. And it was March 20th, 1991. I went out walking with the little dog that I had at the time, and I told God, I said, God, you know, if you want me to have a baby, then let's get on with it. And if you don't, that's okay too, but show me what you want me to do because I'm miserable. And I went back home, everything was fine, went to work. The next day I went out walking with my dog, and this German Shepherd ate my dog right in front of me. And it was very hard. That had been my baby for 7 years. I went to a retreat the following weekend, and I went out for prayer, and this woman got right in my face and did this, and she said, honey, the Lord's telling me to tell you, you go home and get that baby's room ready because your baby's coming sooner than you think. I knew it was God. I had not even told my husband about the conversation in the woods with the Lord. I knew it was God. I was so excited. I knew God had spoke to me in just a really powerful way. And I went home and I told my husband, and he said, sounds like God, let's do it. So I got the baby's room ready. I painted it, and I got the furniture, and I got the curtains up, and I, you know, had been buying things for years in faith. I'd get depressed, and I'd go beat the devil up, and I'd go buy baby stuff. So I had a bunch of stuff already and put it all together and was like, okay, God, now what? And I didn't hear anything. And that was in March. And in December, I got cast in a play as a nanny of all these kids. There was like 20 of them. And I was crying back and forth between rehearsals. But God, when am I really going to have a baby? I got the room ready and nothing's happened. And, you know, crying. And and he didn't say anything. And the following March, actually the following February, February 29th, I got a phone call from a girl that I worked with doing apartment locating. And she called me and said she had leased an apartment to this girl, and she was pregnant and putting the baby up for adoption. And she said, I told her about you, and here's her number. Why don't you call her? So I called her, and Jesse and I met with her the next day. And we met at a restaurant, and I thought she was really smart because she brought a friend with her, you know, that just showed me a sign of intelligence, and I like that. And she asked me, did I want a boy or a girl? And I'm sitting across the booth from her, and I said, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. And Jesse's very quiet, as you all know, and he just spoke up and said, don't let her kid you, she wants a girl. And I'm kicking him under the table, like, you know, shut up. And but God had a purpose for that. We didn't know if it was a boy or girl. She didn't know if it was a boy or girl. 2.5 weeks later, Jane Ellen was born. I got to be in the delivery. I got to be in the delivery. I mean, do you realize what a miracle that is? I have not met another adoptive parent that got to be in the delivery when the baby was born. We almost lost her right before she was born. She had been crowning for 18 hours and had some major complications, and the tape of the heart monitor started just, her heart rate was dropping drastically and fast. And I ran out with the gown and the mask and everything on, and I ran to Jesse and I said, we've got to pray. And I told the devil no. I said, you're not going to steal her this close. You're just not. And I went back in the room, and the heartbeat was getting stronger. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you know, at the time you cry out, the tide will turn. And they did an emergency C-section, and she was born, and they handed her right to me. And they didn't have a room for adoptive parents, and they put us in a closet. So we have this little bassinet thing with our precious baby in it, and we're in this closet. And I forgot a really important part. When I got that prophecy at that meeting where the lady told me to get the baby's room ready, I called my mom. I was so excited. And I told my mom, you know, God said, get the baby's room ready. The baby's coming. And she wanted to know, who told me? Did I really believe this? You know, she was ready to hop on a plane from Phoenix and sue the church for mental cruelty and lock me up, okay? So we're in this closet, and my mom flew in, and she's looking at the baby, and she's like, she's so beautiful, and she starts bawling, and I'm like, what's the matter, Mom? And she goes, it's a good thing you got the baby's room ready. I said, yeah. And it was real good testimony for her. And she was the one, we had been up for 2 days, Jesse and I, with all this going on, took a long time. And she stayed with Jane Ellen the first night and fed her and sent me and Jesse home to get some sleep. And we came back up early the next morning, and the girl wanted to see the baby. And the next thing we knew, the nurse came in and said, no, she doesn't want to see the baby. She wants to see y'all. And we went in there, and she was thanking us, and we were thanking her, and she signed the papers. And that girl had a C-section, y'all, major surgery. Did not have one shot, one pill, nothing, because she didn't want to be drugged. She didn't want anybody ever accusing her of signing those papers, and she didn't know what she was doing. And she's a strong person. And it was a beautiful thing, and we took our daughter home, and we went through the adoption proceedings. I had a stepmom that worked for an attorney that hadn't spoke to me for a couple years, and found out that we had this baby, and just ran to my side, and gifts, and got the attorney for us, and we met with the attorney, and the attorney said his fee was $25,000, which is crazy, but $25,000 to do the paperwork. It's like he didn't even get the baby, but he was going to get $25,000 for doing the paperwork. And he said, but since I know your mom, I'm going to do it for $12,500. So Jesse and I went home, oh, wow, great. Where are we going to get $12,500? And the next time we went into his Post Oak office, we got, he said, I'm going to lower it. I'm just going to do this just for $7,500. And we're like, okay. And the next time we went in his office, he sat there, and it was like we watched God just play with this man. And he sat there shuffling papers, and we were across from him and watching him, and he's shuffling papers. He goes, you know, I think I'll just do it for $5,000. No, okay. I'm going to do it for $2,500. Is that all right with y'all? Jesse and I just looked at each other, and we said, yeah. So we get out in the car, and Jesse can't even get the key in the ignition. He's just in such shock, you know, that this attorney's only going to charge us $2,500. And I'm calculating. I'm good at math, and I'm going, that's interesting. I said, Jesse, do you realize that $2,500 is only 10% of $25,000? And it was the most audible voice I ever heard God speak to me in. And he said, it's 10% because of your 10%. And I told Jesse, I couldn't believe he didn't hear this when I heard it. And I told him, and we just cried all the way home. And God just moved in a mighty way that just worked out. And we went through with the proceedings. She was born in March. And a couple days before Thanksgiving, I got a certified letter in the mail saying that the birth father wanted to exercise his rights, which meant he wanted the baby back. And we were almost to the six-month deadline. And he wanted the baby back. I refused to believe it. I absolutely refused to believe it. I remember laying on my living room floor, grabbing the carpet, and praying and telling God, God, your word says you will not give me anything I can't handle. And you knew I couldn't handle that. And I remember telling God, God, you wouldn't give her to me just to take her away from me. I said, God, you're not an Indian giver. I said, I'm going to believe your word, that you love me and you did this for me and you're not going to go back on your promise. And the next day I got a package in the mail, and it was from my cousin's wife, who I met when they got married. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And she sent me a little size 2 outfit with a card, and all it said was, the Lord put it upon my heart to send you this. Because I asked him laying on the floor that day, I said, I got to have a sign. I have to have something that I can hold on to, that I know everything's going to be okay. And this outfit shows up, and this size 2 outfit. Oh, I danced and sang and jumped because that was my sign. She was going to be there to wear that size 2 outfit, not 8-month-old clothes, size 2 outfit. And she wore it a lot. And it's kind of funny because it was her favorite outfit too, and she had no idea. And January, the adoption was final. And it's been wonderful. It's been absolutely wonderful. And God did this, and he did it in such a unexpected, you know, I thought I had it figured out. Oh, yeah, you go through the phone book. You find all the adoption agencies. You call all the ones in the state of Texas. You get this package, and you get that. No. He did it. I mean, he did it in such a mighty way, nobody can say it wasn't God. Each little detail in itself is a miracle. Every little detail is a miracle. And she's a wonderful child. And she's mine. And God did it. And I give him all the glory and all the praise for it.
So. Wow. You would think, why would we do that, huh? Open your Bibles just real quickly. Why would we have this tonight? Hear these testimonies. People get all embarrassed to say things. Revelations chapter 20, chapter 12, verse 11. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We studied this before. And the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Somebody say, we can overcome by testimony. Whatever you're dealing with in your life right now, God wants you to overcome it. You know, you can either be overcome by life, or you can overcome in life. And many people don't know how to overcome. They think, if I just have great faith, I can overcome. But listen, the blood of the Lamb and testimonies. You're feeling overwhelmed in circumstances that I can't take it much more, you got to hear somebody else tell it. This is how I made it. Somebody say, listening to testimonies cause us to overcome. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because you might have a situation in your life that some mighty prayer is not going to bring you out of. It's a testimony that will bring you out. There are certain things. I've learned certain things about the life of faith and walking in God and walking in Spirit. There are certain things that will only be changed by specific things. There are certain mountains in your life that will only be moved by love. Amen. There are certain things in your life that will only be changed by prayer. But there are some circumstances in your life that your deliverance will only come by testimony. Somebody say testimonies. Say it one more time. Testimonies. So when you hear people get up here on nights like, we need to do it more often. I grew up in a church every Sunday night. Before we had Sunday night service, we had a radio broadcast, and people get saved. But every Sunday night, we had our church started at 8:30 on the East Coast. Now, that's pretty late, isn't it? That was the radio broadcast. Started at 8:30 at night, and the worship regular service started at 9 o'clock at night. But at 8 o'clock, every Sunday night, they would get together, and they would pray, and they would have testimony, and the saints would share their testimony. Somebody say, praise God. And as you would sit there each Sunday night for a half hour, you'd hear the testimonies of the people. This is what God did for me. And we noticed that people were able to overcome in life. We need to hear what God's doing today. It's nice to read about what he did 2,000 years ago in the Bible, but we need to know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we won't be able to hold that in reality unless we hear about what he is doing today. Amen. Somebody say, share it. Say it again. Share it.
Share it.
Two more scriptures. Two more scriptures. You know, it's a very selfish thing not to tell somebody what God's done for you. You know, it's a very selfish thing. It's a pathetic thing because you never know what it might do for somebody else. You know, we come out of a rut. We come out of a pit. We want to hide it like we've always been blessed, like we've always had money. Amen. Like we've always looked good, like we've always had it together. Amen. Like things have always been right. No, you need to drop the pride and get down to the bottom line and let them know that, look, it wasn't all up out of the muck and miry clay. Jesus lifted me. Amen. It wasn't so wonderful. Everybody tries to make like the old life was so great and so grand and so wonderful. No, God has done great things for me. Amen. I'm not in church just because, oh, I'm just a great guy and love to be around church and I decided to do a nice community service. No, it's better over here than it was over there. Amen. Jesus gives new life and things get better when you know him. If you only had any idea all the great things that God has done. Amen. And we forget so often. You know, it gets me, like around here, money moves people. We always talk about money. You know, people get blessed with big money, but you never hear about it. And I believe that we should take, when you get a bunch of money, you should pass the test. And that's what we say. Somebody say, testify about it.
Testify.
And I call it test of money. Amen. The test of money is a testimony. Amen. Somebody say, test the money. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody that God can do it, because there are a lot of people that go through situations that they won't be able to come out unless they hear that God did it for me and he can do it for you too. You can make it if you want to. Hallelujah. Somebody say, share it. You want to overcome, and you want others to overcome, if you want to overcome in life, guess what you're going to need? You're going to need somebody to share their testimony with you so you can overcome. Somebody's dealing with what you're dealing with right now. Well, you can't, well, I've never heard their testimony. Well, sow your testimony. Guess what? You'll reap a testimony.
Amen.
Somebody say, I want to hear it. I want to hear that somebody's been there, amen, and got back from the other side. So if we start to sow testimonies, we'll start to reap testimonies. And we start to reap these testimonies, something supernatural will happen to us. What will happen to us? We'll start to overcome in life. You can make it if you want to. Somebody say, amen. So we know that the way that we overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So churches that are going to overcome are churches that testify. I believe it should be a common thing in the body of Christ. It should be a thing to where we tell people, you tell somebody, you know who that one is over here. When I went to church when I was a kid, see, we know people by their name. Oh, that's Rita. We know Rita, Rex, and everybody. We just know everybody. But you know what? When I was a kid, I grew up in church, and I grew up on the front row looking at people, and I say, that's the lady that God did this for. That's this one over here. I knew them by their testimony. Amen. What God brought them out of. It wasn't any company. See, I grew up in a nice community, just like the Woodlands and stuff like that, but I grew up in a church where we went downtown where many people got saved, and it was extremely common for someone to come down with the Kojic outfit on. And you got a Kojic outfit, a Church of God in Christ outfit. They didn't spend about $1,500 for the thing, $300 on the hat. They come down their strut. You say, man, they got it all together. They are loaded. They're loaded. They look like they've had it all together for years. And then they'd get up there, and they'd sit behind the mic, and tears would roll down their face. She said, you have no idea what God brought me from.
Amen.
You have no idea. I was a prostitute, some would say, amen, but Jesus picked me up and turned me around. He did it for me. He can do it for you. Said, I'm shouting for Jesus right now. I'm high on God, but 20 years ago, I was high on the dope, and God brought me out of it. Somebody say, praise God. We will only overcome. If you want to get in the church that you're going to overcome with, get with people that aren't afraid to tell you where they've been. Amen.
Amen.
And tell you where they are. Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say thank God. You can make it. Get rid of all the fluff. Amen.
Right.
You know, people that are on their way down. How many met phony Christians? Amen. like it's always fluff, fluff. Well, those are you won't overcome with stuff like that. You wonder why you're staying in the rut that you are. I've been around churches, you had problems in your life. You'd keep your problem for years down the road. You'd have the same problem. Why? Because you never heard a testimony. Somebody say, thank God. Where's my scripture that I wanted to read to you? So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Somebody say, praise God again. Shout it out. It's a good thing to be in church. Somebody say, thank God. Now listen, go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. You must overcome. You've got to overcome. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not just survive. Somebody say, we think if we just survive until the end, we win. No, you've got to overcome. And you can. Praise God, you can overcome it. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever problem you have, glory to God, you've got to overcome it. Huh? In your own strength? No. In your own power? No, absolutely not. Somebody say, just hear it. Hear the testimony. Build your faith. Listen, when you hear about what people have done and what people have gone through and what God did for them, you'll build your faith in it. And guess what? Your faith will overcome your circumstance. You can listen your way out of a problem. Amen. You can listen your way into joy. You can listen your way into a new house. Glory to God. Amen. You can listen your way out of abusive situations. God can do it. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can overcome if you want to, and you must overcome. In the last days, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. How many of you want to eat of the tree of life? Well, who's going to eat of the tree of life? Those that what? Anybody? No, those that overcome. And how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Somebody say, why? I'm listening to what Rita had to say because I want to overcome. I'm listening to what God did for Crystal because I want to overcome. Somebody say, praise God. Listen, just because I hear testimony, somebody say, praise God, and share my testimony, I'll be eating at the tree of life. Somebody say, praise God again. That's a good scripture. Write that scripture down. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We should get together. See, it's something about godly fellowship. We need to learn to build each other's faith up. We need to have supernatural relationships where we start to lift each other up when people are dealing with stuff. Say, hey, don't worry about it. I know somebody who was sick. Amen. You can make it out. Amen. Meet this one over here. This is what God did it for her. He'll do it for you. Somebody say, praise God. No matter what you're dealing with, somebody say, God will do it for you. If you need it to have happen, it'll happen for you. God will work a miracle for you. He'll bring you up out of stuff. Glory to God. You've been losing your house. I knew three or four that were losing theirs. God will give it to you. He'll pay it off. Amen. Somebody say, a testimony. You have no idea what people are dealing with every Sunday and every week. And sometimes what they need to hear is, hey, been there. Somebody say, praise God. But God got me out of it. I know exactly how you're feeling. Glory to God. You can make it. And you will overcome. After I tell you about what God did for me, you'll overcome it. Somebody say, thank God. Somebody see this one over here, says, somebody tell me about healing. Somebody tell me about healing. Glory to God. I read it in the Bible, but somebody tell me, what did God do for you? Somebody say, praise God. I got to the point in my life, you know, things were really good and going really well, and I got to the point where I had certain things in my life that just seemed impossible. Just seemed absolutely impossible. It seemed like no way out of different circumstances in my life. I dealt with, what do you call that stuff? Bipolar, manic depressive. No, it was worse than manic. Amen. I mean, it was ridiculous. Amen. It was ridiculous. Even in the ministry, I was away in a Christian rock and roll band and would go off in this Christian rock and roll band, sing and wear the place down, dance and boogie, amen, and go out to the bus and sit on the bus and look out the window for hours. Whatever state we were driving, they just zoned out. Somebody say, praise God. But God, somebody say, amen, amen, he will deliver you and he'll set you free. And you know what? We don't deal with that, hallelujah, anymore. God sets you free. Amen. He can do it for me. He'll do it for you. Here's another testimony. Somebody say, amen. Glory to God. Somebody say, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Somebody say, praise Jesus. Did I do 12, 11 already? No, I didn't. I did not. Don't you tell me what I did. No. Praise the Lord. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. God is good all the time. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Praise God. Who's not going to have their names blotted out of the book of life?
Overcomers.
Who's not going to have their name blotted out? Those that overcome. Those that overcome, and we've got to learn. We sang that song tonight. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So realize that your testimony is powerful. You want to minister to people. You want to bring about a difference. Tell somebody what God did for you. It's a real sad thing when God doesn't do anything for anybody. That's a real spooky thing. I tell you what's even more dangerous. You got some blind people. You know, okay, anybody got anything to share that Jesus did for them? God's done more than you could ever know. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He woke you up this morning. Amen. There are a lot of people that just slept on. Amen. Everybody eat tonight? Anybody looking to go to a restaurant after I shut up? Somebody say, God is a good God, and he does great things. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's all I want to share with you tonight. Amen. I think we need to do that more often. I think we need to have a time. So you got to be really careful how you have the time, because people don't know the difference between testimony and preaching. They get up there and tell you about everything. But we hear all that mess. Amen. We want to hear what God did. Amen. We got time for all that, you know. Amen. If you've been there, praise the Lord. Testimonies are good. You should all learn your testimony. Write this down and do this. That was a very powerful testimony. It was wonderful. Amen. And she basically shared that. It was what we needed tonight, but it was long. But it was what we needed to know. It's what everybody should take. You should take time to go out with people and have testimony teas. You tell me what God did for you, and I'll tell you what God did for me. We should know it. Yeah, you can say one more thing. Hallelujah.
I forgot to tell y'all about this. Okay, this is another thing. Okay.
He's like, you almost had me out of here, Rita. You almost.
Okay, this is really fast, though, okay? Okay.
I've never seen that before. Go ahead. 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 Good. Now you know what it's like when you preach.
Okay, well, you're making it take longer than it should. You remember I told you that the attorney said he was going to do it for $2,500, right? Well, we still didn't know where we were going to get $2,500. And my mom loaned us the $2,500. And Jesse works for EDS. And in their employee handbook, they have a little thing, and it says that they have adoption reimbursement up to $2,500. And it's after the employee's been there 3 years. And we got the phone call about Jane Ellen, and when we met with the girl, it was exactly 3 years for his anniversary date. See, God had it all planned out, you know. And when he had lost his job that he had prior to the job at EDS, he lost his job, and when he told me, I wanted to dance. I was so excited. And here I had to console my husband because he lost his job of 13 years. You know, he's laid off. And yet inside of me, everything was going, yeah. But it was my spirit. It was like my spirit knew he had to leave that job, and the next job he was going to get, then 3 years later, there would be the baby. So it's pretty cool. She was given freely. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say thank God. So how many you got a homework assignment for this week? Get a testimony. Amen. Get a testimony and learn to share that testimony in 3 minutes. Yes, dear. Come on. You can do exactly what you want to, Mary. So do it right from there. We're just glad to see you. Oh, my word. Oh, my. Praise God. Isn't that good? And you got a testimony, brother?
Yeah. did you find this at? Praise God. That's awesome, man. Restoration. Come on up and share it. We don't even know. See, that's why we got to have testimony. Did anybody know he had these girls? He said, I found my daughters. I said, I never knew they were lost. Amen. Go ahead and grab that mic. Here's some testimonies that will help you. I'm sowing it. Amen.
No, I might just want to say that these 2 years have been a very trying one for me. And I'm very glad that I had found this church.
I'm glad you're here, bro.
Because his teachings have been very helpful to me. And I married right out of high school. And I was married to this woman for 10 years. And I had three beautiful daughters. My oldest is going to be turning 16 next month. My other two are 10 and 13. And I married again, and that one kind of fell through. She did follow some false teaching and false doctrine, and you know, she didn't want to follow the word, so I had to follow Jesus. And so I just basically... after the first marriage, she had left, and I lost track of my kids for about 3 years. And I just called my stepmom today and found out where she's at. So I'm going to try to be reunited with my children.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
No, they're in California.
Honey, please. You see? Come on. Tell us all about it. Go ahead. That is his. And when he says sister, that's what he means.
Yeah, I have a daughter. Most of you had. Some of you have met her. She's 19. She's a sophomore at Sam Houston State. Really, she's a pretty thing. And she. Have you met her, Rita? Anyway, I didn't know I had her until, I knew I had her. Let me clarify this, okay? I knew I had her. I didn't know where she was. Many years ago, I was not living for the Lord, and we were married, and I got separated from the wife of my children. I met this girl named Kay. She was a nurse on the other side of town. And you know what resulted from that? We got together for a while. It was not a good thing. Resulted in a child. I didn't know this at that time. Got back with my wife, whom I was separated from, and got a phone call from Kay. Oh, 2 or 3 years later, and said, I didn't call to bother you or to interfere in your life. Just wanted to let you know you've got a daughter. Well, my wife was sitting right here on the couch. So I had no idea what to do. I was on the phone. She didn't know who it was, so I said, sorry, wrong number, or something like that. And
testify.
You know? I mean, I had no idea. It was the wrong thing to do. I didn't know that, but I was trapped because she would have never accepted that. You know, the marriage would have been doomed for sure. But anyway, and it eventually was, but. Anyway, that's another story, but down the road.
You have a lot of testimonies.
So, let's shoot forward 20 years. No, 18 years. It's been about, it was November of last year, actually. Yeah. I was home one night, and phone rang, and it was my daughter. And she found me. She had my social security number, my name, and just some few things. So she tracked me over the internet, and she found out, you know, my number. And anyway, she contacted me. We met the next evening in Humble at Bennigan's. I mean, I knew the moment I saw her, she was mine. I mean, I walked in. It was like
last
yeah.
year.
I mean, it was like she was. They were walking down the thing, and I saw her. I mean, I just like, hey. I mean, I know it's my. That's her. You know, and praise God, it was. Anyway, so. we went to Colorado last year for, went to Breckenridge for 8 days. We'd already had this planned, and ended up, praise God, she got to go with us. And so that was a really a good trip. Kind of got to know each other. Come to find out, I did not know this, but her mother had died when she was 5 years old of cancer. Well, I'm doing the math as well as I can do it. And it was probably about the time that, that's probably about when Kay, her mom, had called. And what I'm thinking is she was probably filling me out, see if me, I wanted to take Shanna and raise her. Well, you know, and that was probably her answer. And it was, you know, that grieved me, you know. But I'm just, you know, God has his own timing. But anyway, I'm glad that, so now I do get to see my daughter. And it's kind of like she's never not been there. I mean, we're close, but I don't get to see her enough, or any of my kids. But praise God, you know, that's, isn't that neat? It's one of those 60-minute things, huh? Yeah. Okay. Oh, you know what? And I'm, you know what I'm really thankful for? Is, and I'm out, I know, all right, I'm ready to go too, brother. One of the most important things that is this church right here, and I do mean that. Amen. I love this church, I love this pastor, I love everybody in this church, but as you know, I was out of here for a while. I didn't leave, I was just through some of that stuff, through that thing I went through, you know?
Yes.
And I was, you know, I was out there, and, but I'm thank God I'm back here, because I mean there is nothing out there for me, and Amen. So I mean I'm a whole lot better off here. I may think he preaches too long sometimes, whatever, but I love it here. I mean I do. I just thank God for this church.
We love you, Brother Rex. Amen. Good testimonies, everybody. Why don't you? I think it'd be a good idea to do that. We can even everybody needs to know what God has done for them. We're going to overcome that way. And if we're not overcoming, it's because somebody's holding back a testimony. Somebody say, don't rip me off of my blessing. Amen. Testimony. Good Lord. Go ahead. I was going to do what Rex did to me. I was going to do what Rex did. I'm going to let Rex close his eyes. Then when he come back, I'm not going to be here. All right. Praise God for that. God is good. Testimonies are wonderful, and we got to know those testimonies and keep them dear to our hearts. Amen. Well, let's receive tonight's offering. I got a testimony. Amen. This morning offering was $7.9 million. Hallelujah. that's a faith testimony. Amen. I do have a testimony. It was more than enough for us to do what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No, just means we don't have much to do this week. It is good. Praise God. You will overcome. You will overcome, whether you want to or not. You can look at testimonies in this visual picture. It's if you're in a rut, if you're in a hole, you can step on testimonies until you work your way out. Amen. When we were in a rut in this ministry, in a terrible place, and you know who gave us a testimony? Paul Osteen. He gave us Pastor Osteen's testimony. We were right there, and Joel's brother Paul said, we're going to get together. And all he did was feed us the testimony. This is what God did for us. We were exactly where you are and worse. Amen. And look what God did. Amen. And you know what? We took that testimony and stepped on it and overcame. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. So find yourself a testimony. Amen. Amen. And work your way out of it. Right, Brother Will? You got to. Will's got a powerful testimony, too. Praise the Lord. In time. Hallelujah. Well, hold that. What's that, bro?
You haven't put it together yet. How many, you going to get your testimony together? Kathy's got one. Y'all going to do that? How many of y'all would like to post it? If you get a testimony, post it on the website. Amen. We'll take your name out. Say, have an anonymous name and put it on the web. This is what God did for me, and this is what I know he'll do for you. Hallelujah. Hold that offering up. Did y'all enjoy tonight? I enjoyed tonight. Amen. We can't do that every time because you just lose the meeting. Amen. It just goes on and on and on, you know. Praise. No, I'm not talking about you, woman. Praise God. We get to have church Wednesday night. Somebody say praise God. We get to have church Wednesday night. Then we get to have church again on Friday night. Glory to God. I tell you what, we all come to all the meetings. And you know what? They never get old. And I look forward to every meeting. I look forward to Wednesday night. And then, you know what? And then Wednesday night comes, I look forward to Friday night. I just look forward to the meetings. We get to, it's not like you got to go to church again. No, we get to go to church on Wednesday night. We get to go to church again. Amen. And we get to get blessed in between being blessed. Yeah. So tomorrow's Monday, you get to be blessed. Amen. Mary's going to go on vacation. She's going to come back all refreshed and feeling good. How long y'all going for? Ooh, y'all are really going on vacation. Praise God. Seattle. Are y'all going to be in Seattle? Man, that's nice. They're enjoying themselves. Life goes, and I got a kitty cat. That's my testimony. I got a kitty cat. The Lord helped us get the kitty cat today. I wanted another one, but I'd be stealing it if I took it. So God delivered me from He delivered me from that, you know. So I didn't take my kitty cat. So I got a white Siamese. Amen. But if that other cat walks along, praise the Lord. All right, stand up. Rex has got his tie there. Look at Rex. Ain't no races on, brother. Praise God. Somebody say, boy, am I glad to be in the house of God. The place where I pick up my stepping stones. Amen. I can step out of situations and overcome everything. And I speak right now that I'm an overcomer, and I cause those that I know to overcome. You're not in a pit that you can't get out of. I tell you that right now in Jesus' name. There's no situation you will not overcome in Jesus' name. Not one, not one, not one. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And you're going to come out of everything.
Amen.
Amen. You'll come out of everything. And you'll have something else to come out of after that, but you'll still be coming out. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this wonderful offering tonight. We ask you to bless it. Amen. Father God, allow it to do great good in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pack this thing up. Put on some good music, Will. Hallelujah. I got a testimony. Tommy came to church. Can you believe that? That's a miracle. Amen. Tommy's in church, and his son's in church, too. Amen. Was it too boring tonight? Not too boring, you know? It was fun. Praise the Lord. We'll have one of those services where everybody just gets drunk in the Holy Ghost. And you can go to tell all the people in school about it.
That's what my daughter did.
Should we leave the...